Morning and greetings in Christ's name this morning. It's a blessing to be together. Brother Dwight prayed earlier this morning that was thanking God for a day of rest, a seventh day, and that we can pause from our normal activities and focus on the Lord, and I concur with that. As I was thinking about what to share this morning, I felt led to look at Isaiah 55. It's a familiar scripture. I invite you to turn there. I'd like to read the whole chapter this morning, be focusing mostly on the first half of it. But this chapter is an invitation to freely come near to God, to accept His grace, to accept His provision. It's a rich passage, and I hope that it can whet your appetite for a further study and meditation on your own later. Now, there are times in our lives that we feel close to God. There are times in our lives, if you're like me, that when things feel dry or God feels distant. And one of the things that I like about this passage is that this is an open invitation to all of us to come to God. It's real. It's valid. It's a real and a valid invitation, no matter where we find ourselves, whether we feel close to God at the moment, He says, come. Whether we feel distant, He says, come. In good times or in difficult times, He says, come. And so it's a call to come to Him. How do we receive what God has in store for us? This passage gives three very basic words that we can look at and commands, if you please, to receive that. In verse 1, verse 3, and verse 6, we come to God, we listen to God, and we seek and call upon God. So as we think about that, let's read Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Verse 1, this call to come is given to everyone that is thirsty. If there is a prerequisite, I guess you could say it is that we need to be thirsty in order to receive. We come because we realize that we don't have it within ourselves. Everyone that is thirsty may come. It's a universal invitation. whether we, as I mentioned before, whether we feel close to God or distant from him, if we are thirsty for more, we are invited to come. Jesus says in John 7:37 that if any man thirst, let him come and drink unto me and drink. The word come, if you look at what it implies, it's a word that implies or maybe requires humility. It requires that I acknowledge that I don't have all that I need myself. And that is something that flies in the face of our self-sufficient nature and our individualistic culture. If we have it within ourselves, then we don't need to come. Buying without money, as verse 1 says as well, also implies several things, and I was blessed by what Matthew Henry's commentary had to say about what buying without money implies. He says that, first of all, these gifts are so valuable, no price can be set for it. Buying without money also implies that God does not offer this because he has occasion to sell, but because he has a desire to give. Thirdly, what is offered is already bought and paid for. And fourthly, that we are welcome to the benefits of what is being offered, though utterly unworthy of it. Come and buy without money and without price. Verse 2 then has some challenging questions for us, and there's some challenging questions for myself as I looked at verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? What do I spend my time and resources on? Does it satisfy? God's call in the last part of the verse is to hearken diligently to him and eat that which is good, and let our soul delight itself in that goodness. When I pursue the world's systems, the world's pleasures, the world's ideas, those are not neutral things. Those are things that will mitigate against God's invitation to come and to experience his fullness. And so as I looked at this, I was realizing that, again, that the things that I, the appetites that I foster, the appetites that I pursue, have a major bearing here. And I can, if I pursue after the things of the world, that will chain me back or pull me back from God's best. What appetites are we pursuing? What appetites are we feeding? Verse 3, it's not only coming, it's also listening. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The verse has the promise that if we come and listen, then our soul will live and God will make an everlasting covenant with us. And that covenant is talked about in the next two verses, verses 4 and 5, and refers to the coming of Christ. He makes that everlasting covenant possible. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Seek God while we can. We will not always have the opportunity. Time is limited. We don't have forever. And I had to think about our focus of prayer yesterday for Josh. We long for him to experience God in a full and complete way. And not only for him, but there's many others in our families. I think we all know loved ones who are not walking in God's ways, aren't walking in freedom. I was reminded of sister-in-law Darlene, who for a number of years now, several years ago, she left her husband and is living with another man, and it grieves our hearts as a family. Our desire for Darlene, and invite you to pray for with us for her as well, is that she would find the reconciliation and find God as Isaiah 55 is imploring us to. Calling on God requires a humility and a recognition that we need help. I would like to think that I can do it myself and that I'm self-sufficient, but the reality is that I need God's help and grace. You know, our children will often come to me and say, Daddy, can you help me with this? And I think that is the attitude that God invites us to have this morning, coming to God and asking for his help. Can you help me with this? I can't do this on my own. Verse 7 then is the highlights the beautiful reality that as we turn or return to God, he will have mercy and he will abundantly pardon. And I think we should remember this as we pray for those who need the Lord or who've strayed from him, not to lose hope. We have this promise here that if they turn back to him, God will pardon, God will have mercy. And God can redeem the most difficult people and situations. So as we worship this morning here, and as we come to him, as we listen to him, as we seek and call on his name, we can experience the joy that verse 12 talks about. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Let's kneel for prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning acknowledging our need of you, and we come to you thanking you for Isaiah 55 and the call to come and to listen and to seek and find. And that is our desire this morning as we worship together. Lord, it's our desire for a closer walk with you, and it's our desire for Josh to discover that again. It's our desire for Sister Darlene to find you again. It's our desire for many others, loved ones in our midst or who have been among us, to come back and to find the joy and the blessing of Isaiah 55. Lord, we ask for your presence to be here, and I ask that you would help us to listen carefully to your word and to your truth this morning. Bless Oren as he shares in the message, and I pray for your anointing and blessing on his heart and mind and life. And I pray for an openness on our part as we listen. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.